You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Just tell me a little bit about yourself and what you're doing.
My name's Nicholas Hove. I'm a psychiatrist. I work in the public health system, and I'm also an academic psychiatrist at the University of Auckland, and I've been involved with research looking at alternative treatments for depression.
And can you just tell me in your own words what magnetic therapy is? Because I feel a lot of people won't exactly know.
Yeah, so it is not very well known in New Zealand, but it is an internationally recognized and approved treatment for depression. It's been approved in the U.S. since 2008 as FDA approval for treatment-resistant depression, as well as in the European Union and Australia and other places. So essentially what transcranial magnetic stimulation is it's a way of, in a non-invasive, indirect way, accessing particular brain regions, adjusting the circuit, and therefore improving people's experience of depression. So it offers a treatment for depression as an alternative or in addition to medications and talk therapy.
And why would traditional medication not be sufficient in comparison to magnetic therapy?
So that's a really good question. So the first thing is that we're really not sure what exactly the mechanism of depression is. Lots of different theories around what clinical depression is, but the actual basic understanding isn't there. The brain is very complicated, and clinical depression is very heterogeneous, which means it can present in different ways to different people, and often different treatments are therefore required.
And with magnetic therapy, does it have quite a good rate of success as a viable option for treating clinical depression?
So it depends on which studies you look at. Generally speaking, the research has been looking at people who haven't responded to usual treatments, so they haven't responded to two or more antidepressants. That's what our study looked at. And often these people have also not responded or have had a limited response to talk therapies, to psychotherapy. So it is often a difficult treatment population that then turn to TMS. The evidence does show that it has a fairly good result, equal if not better to antidepressants, particularly for people who are early in their treatment for depression, who've only maybe tried one treatment like medications. So that's really where TMS stands out as being an effective treatment. But certainly there are plenty of people who respond to TMS who have not responded to many, many different antidepressants.
So are you saying the treatment for it is just only the magnetic waves, you said, so there isn't anything else involved like therapy or consultation, that they just visit this machine and then they get processed with these magnetic waves?
With our study, we included people who were on medications. They didn't have to be on medications to be treated, but many people, probably the majority by far, were on medications, and many were also having psychotherapy as well. But no, you don't necessarily, it's not required that you have other treatments in place. People can just go for the treatment, you know, without any other interventions. But it certainly is something that for someone who's struggling with depression could be added on to other treatments like medications and talk therapy. And it's not a burden for those people who are interested in having another treatment in place.
And do you feel like there's a lot of skepticism surrounding this treatment? Because I feel like in a lot of people's minds, magnets and depression aren't two things you would put together. And I feel like the name isn't necessarily helping either.
Depends on who you talk to and how you view magnets. It's not magnets, it's magnetism. So it's using a magnetic force. There is a relationship between electricity and magnetism that very well characterized, and it's similar to what we are very comfortable with using in terms of a MRI, which is a way of imaging the brain and other parts of the body using magnetism. So I guess there is that association for some people with magnets as being kind of a folk remedy. But there's another group of people who view magnets in a more positive way, as less kind of harmful, more toxic. It depends on who you talk to and how you look at it. But this is a very strong magnetic field that is being generated. It does require some equipment that has a cost, about $70,000. Does require some technical ability and does require medical supervision. And that being said, it is non-invasive, well tolerated by the majority of people. But it's not kind of just sitting on magnets or having magnets kind of rubbed on your scalp. So it's quite different than maybe what the popular notion of it would be, hearing the word magnetism in the kind of the name of the machine.
And just in my general knowledge, I've heard that depression is sometimes viewed as a chemical imbalance. I want to ask, first of all, is that view still valid? And if it is, how does it sort of relate with electromagnetism and fixing that chemical imbalance?
Yeah, the chemical imbalance view really was a kind of a product of the fact that people were using medications that were adjusting or blocking certain neurotransmitters. And so that kind of was a kind of a helpful way of understanding depression, because you know you're on a medication and it's adjusting chemicals, therefore it's a chemical imbalance. Like I said before, we don't really have a good way of describing what clinical depression is, other than observing the kind of the way people experience it. There are some kind of emerging information coming from some basic research around the structures of the brain and certainly the circuits of the brain. The majority of the brain communicates through electricity. It's a complex neural net of a number of circuits. And so we understand TMS as a way of adjusting or tweaking some of those circuits and therefore kind of resulting in improvement in mood symptoms. So I think, again, we're describing and understanding depression in a few different ways. But if you see it both at a chemical level and also at a circuit level, you can then kind of understand perhaps why medications work for some people, but not all people, and also the role of TMS in terms of adjusting those circuits.
So I'm correct in believing that TMS, because the brain communicates in a lot of electromagnetic signals, TMS is posing to try help that. So I'm sort of wondering then, how would traditional antidepressants affect this at all?
So there, I guess it's different levels. If you think about, there are some circuit effects that happen as a result of a neurotransmitter change. So there is evidence of that occurring, but also the TMS is actually able to target and adjust the circuits in a different way that doesn't involve the neurotransmitter system directly. So it's kind of overlapping. And it's also important to kind of highlight that psychotherapy as well has neurotransmitter and circuit changes. In behavioral activation, exercise, those things, sunshine at the right time, are all also kind of affecting the neurochemistry and the circuits. So it's not one or the other, but it's a constellation of different things that can often improve people when they're struggling with depression.
Is TMS only used for people who are resilient to traditional medication, or could it still be used as a standalone type of treatment?
If someone has clinical depression, you could certainly see that they could turn to TMS instead of usual antidepressants, assuming that it's available and affordable and the person is suitable for that treatment. So it wouldn't require that someone has failed an antidepressant or two before they would consider TMS. A lot of health systems do kind of set up that as the kind of the way it is offered, as you trial other treatments first and then turn to TMS. But that's not an essential thing. That's more of just the way the healthcare is provisioned. I mean, it will be easier for people to perhaps take a pill every night, then come in for a session 5 days a week for 4 weeks, which is what TMS is, the current way it's offered. So there is a bit of a time commitment that's involved with TMS relative to, say, taking a medication. Psychotherapy does depend, but could be, sometimes a weekly session, so there's time commitment as well with that. So there's also lots of different kind of reasons people might want to prefer TMS over medications based on previous experience or worrying about side effects or people wanting to get pregnant and so forth. So there's all sorts of different scenarios where TMS might be a preferred choice.
And just as a final question, how's TMS seen in the eyes of the New Zealand government? I know MedSafe and things like that are the ones that regulate access to treatment, especially with mental health, that fall short in a lot of ways. Is this only a private option, or is it something that is a lot of bureaucracy you have to get through?
So that's a really good question, and I suppose it remains to be seen what the government, at the national level or within the different district health boards, how they would view TMS and if they see it as something that needs to be offered and funded. At this moment, essentially, it is extremely difficult to access. Only in the private setting can people access it, and as far as I know, only in Auckland. So it's really not something that's available to the majority of people throughout New Zealand. district health boards perhaps are the place that could kind of provide resources and funding, or it could be offered through kind of a super clinic model from a PHO, private, you know, the GP practices. Could also be a kind of a source of funding and support for TMS. So there's a lot of options, but it's hard to know what the government response will be. But I guess the point of my study really was to allow people to have an awareness of this treatment and to really explore what the experience of the New Zealander was with it. And that's really why we're kind of promoting and kind of, you know, getting this conversation going for people to have that awareness.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.